Thank you so much, Pastor. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans 10. Very simple sermon this morning. I don't really know how to preach anything complicated. And we'll be in Romans 10 this morning. I just want to take this moment and thank you for your kindness and for your hospitality to me. Pastor, thank you for pick me up and take me out to eat 155 times. Just keeping me fed is a major miracle. But I was looking at those slides this morning, and I was recounting back the day when I was unsaved and rode a bus to Vacation Bible School as a 7-year-old boy. And I really appreciate all that I saw there this morning for everything you're doing for the children. And, you know, it's a good thing that a lot of adults in here this morning, a lot of you have been in church since this church was founded 167,000 years ago. But I really appreciate the fact that you're still going after the children and taking care of them and doing what you can. Because certainly on the other side, the devil's doing all he can to destroy a lot of things with the kids in this country. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your pastor who came into this situation here at Loomis Park and is just been steady and a good, strong preacher of the Word of God and not going off into some, you know, new Buddhist tangent or some crazy thing, just preaching the Word of God in this place for these years. And it's just been a blessing to see him and his family. If you're in your Bible this morning in the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter, I need to tell you a scripture verse this morning. I need to tell you about two Koreans and one Pennsylvanian, and then tell you the conclusion, and then we'll be done. And so, Romans chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just want to give you a reminder this morning about the old gospel message. Many years ago, I'm guessing it's been at least 20 years, I was traveling with a singer by the name of Dan Daniel, a big hefty singer, a real strong voice, math teacher and engineer and singer for the Lord. And we were traveling up into northern Michigan, way up north. I don't know how to do the thumb like you all do in Michigan, you know, which part of it was. We were traveling to a church way up north. And as is easy for me to do, I was somewhat irritated in the service. I mean, in this one situation, some of you are far too young to remember, but there was quite the famous country and western piano player named Floyd Kramer. And I don't know all that Floyd played. He probably played Your Cheatin' Heart and whatever else, you know. And I was at that very church, and I was quite young at the time, and this lady came up to me, and she just liked how I played the piano. And she was kind of flustered about it. She wanted to express it to me. And she said, you're just a Floyd Kramer, you know. And I didn't quite know how to take that, you know. I mean, I'm not a country and western piano player. And I thought, you know, this church is kind of irritating me a little bit. And besides that, then we had a table with all of our CDs and stuff. And the dear, forgive me, I'm bitter still 25 years later. The dear secretary who was in charge of that had the table all messed up, and all the things were messed up in the boxes, and I needed to get back there and take care of all of this stuff. And then this lady was calling me Floyd Kramer, and I was just kind of in, have you ever been there in church and irritated? You know, we're supposed to be holy, godly people. I was irritated and godly that morning. And here comes, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, I've never seen the man before. I've never seen him since. Here comes this Korean man. And he starts talking to me. I'm trying to get back to the table and straighten up the mess. And he says, ah, you professor? And I'm just looking like, what? Ah, you're professor. And I thought, oh yeah, they said I was teaching at a Bible college. Yes, I said, yes, I teach at a college. Ah, you're professor. And I thought, okay, the way this man is talking with broken English, and he has something he wants to tell me, it's going to take me 35 minutes to get from here because he's everything's going, ah, you're professor. It's going to be a long time. And I'm just like, whatever. You know, I'm Floyd Kramer. I'm a professor. Whatever you want to call me, you know, I'm just, you know, what do you want, mister? And then, like, all of the sudden, have you ever had that where the Lord just kind of all of a sudden does something in your heart? And it dawns on me, this man's not a member of this church. This is a visitor. He doesn't know what's going on here. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I don't even know if this man is saved. And the Lord kind of told me, well, Mr. Floyd Kramer, Mr. Rushing to the back table, Mr. Irritated at the church secretary, maybe you could just get down off your little high horse for a minute and talk to this Korean man. And so I said, instead of being that feeling being rushed and being irritated, I started talking to this man. And I as the conversation progressed a little bit, I asked this Korean gentleman, I said, now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, ah, professor, no. And so I stepped off to the side into the pastor's office. Now, I have this terrible habit. I can't help it. If I try to stop it, I can't stop it anyway. But when I talk to people that have an accent, I take on their accent. I don't know if you do that or not, but I'll talk to people, and I don't do the accent very well, but I'm talking, ah, professor, and I start talking English Korean. I don't know any Korean words, and I'm talking to this guy, ah, professor, you know, and we're going through this, and I'm like, ah, Book of John, and I'm talking to him, and my wife tells me, she says, Mike, people think you're making fun of them. You got to stop it. I say, Angie, I can't stop it. It's just a natural thing. I just start getting this accent, you know. And so I'm trying to explain to this man. Well, come to find out, I didn't realize he was a very bright man. He was a medical doctor in town. And I'm saying, ah, professor, ah, doctor, you got to go book a job. You know, I'm going this stuff, and I'm talking to him. And I started giving him the God. And I don't even remember why or what question that he had. But I was in the Book of John, and I was reading to him, and I'm looking down, and he had his Korean and English Bible, and I was reading in English, and we're looking at the Korean, and he's looking at the Korean, I'm looking, and I'm kind of pounding on this Bible that as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. And I'm trying my best to explain. You don't have to be a good Christian. You don't have to give $5 million to the church. You don't have to, you know. I said, you've got to receive him. Bible says you'll receive him. You know, and I'm looking at this. And all of a sudden, I looked up at him. And here's this Korean doctor. Tears running down his cheek. I mean, just tears running down. And he said, ah, professor, how do I receive him? Oh. Well, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It wasn't just a few more minutes until that man said, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, now, this was now not 20 or 25 years ago. This was maybe 6 months ago. When I first went to West Coast Baptist College, you know, when you first go to a place, you start meeting different people and trying to connect everyone. And this one girl that we met there, she really confused me. She was very clearly an Oriental-looking girl. She's a Korean girl, and she had a very striking Korean appearance about her. But when you talk to her, she had a strong British accent. And I'm just like, you know, this is confusing me. This girl, she looks like she's from Korea. She talks like she's from London. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going on with her? Well, her name was Pearl Choi, and wouldn't you know, it would be that she's the girlfriend, almost now, then be the fiance of the guy who works as my assistant. This guy, John Tyler, he nicest guy you've ever wanted to meet, really good guy. And he and Pearl, now they're married and they're expecting their first child, but back then they were still dating. And Pearl Choi, how do you get to be a Korean girl with a British accent? John, what's up with Pearl? What's the story here? This is kind of weird. Oh, he said, well, here's the situation. She's from Australia. And a couple... is a couple of generations ago, like her grandfather was the ambassador from Korea to Australia, and then they wound up moving to Australia. So they're all Korean, and not only are they from Australia, they're from Tasmania. And I said, you're marrying a Tasmanian devil. You better watch out, you know? And so she's from Australia. And then now, several months ago, John and Pearl, married now, and my wife Angie, we're all driving in the car. And Pearl said, I'm very worried about my father. She said, I don't know that my father is saved. And she said, my father is coming to visit us for about 8 weeks this summer from Australia. And I was thinking that maybe on Wednesday, our church has a discipleship program, maybe I could get him involved in this discipleship program and maybe someone could get him saved or something, or be sure that he's saved. And my wife said, well, if you want to do that, she said, you should have my husband take care of that for you. Just have my husband do it. And she said, oh, wow. And so she said, would you be willing to meet with my parents for those weeks while they're in town? I said, well, of course I will. So this was very interesting. So now here's Korean man number two. Okay. And he comes in and he's all dignified and I'm supposed to have some sessions with him and find out what is he about and what does he do. And he was a college professor and a college administrator down in Tasmania, now retired. And I said to him, I said, Mr. Choi, you have some questions and would you let me know what your questions are? Well, he said, I have basically two questions. He said, first of all, I'm not sure about this salvation thing. And number two, I'm not sure about this Bible thing. He said, could you help me with that? Well, I said, now that'd be a good question to answer. Let's start with this salvation thing. Now, he's this college professor, you know, and he's retired and he does all this work. So I said, okay, let's talk. Like, you know how college professors are. They always have you write essays. Would you compare and contrast? You know, what's the same? And you got to write these. And I said, you know what? Let's just take a look at salvation. I said, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let's get out a sheet of paper here. I said, in this column over here, let's write down what salvation is not. And in this column over here, let's write down what salvation is. And so I said, now the first thing, Mr. Choi, that you need to know is that salvation is not information. I said, salvation's just not a package of information. You see, he had gone through to get his wife. He had to go through this process of, he was in a church of England, and they had to go through a little catechism, and he had to do this little process, you know. And so he knew information. He knew that Genesis was the first book in the Bible, and he knew that Matthew was the first book in the New Testament. He knew that in the Bible there was this person called Jesus, and he knew that there was something in the Bible about the cross, and he knew the Bible had epistles. And I said, you know, Mr. Choi, there are a lot of people, and they think that they're saved because they know religious information. I said, salvation has nothing to do with just knowing information. I said, number two, I said, let's put down what salvation is not. I said, salvation is not agreement. I said, salvation is just not when you agree. Oh, you see, he had gone to this church. And in the church, they said, if you want to be a part of this church, you have to sign this statement that says you will agree with the church. And you'll sign this covenant, you'll sign this, you know, Church of England document. And in that statement, you say, There's a bunch of information out there, and I don't mind if you teach that in the church. I kind of agree with all that. I said, salvation is just not that you signed a form somewhere. And you just wrote down, yeah, I believe that, you know, Matthew's in the Bible and that Jesus is in the Bible. And the, I said, that just signing an agreement form that you're willing to be a member of a church that teaches this information. I said, that's not salvation. And Mr. Choi said, and he just looked at me very quietly. I said, so, sir, I said, salvation is not information, and salvation is not agreement. He had told me something about his life. He said, Dr. Zachary, he said, down in Australia, he said, I'm on the board of a Bible college. And I help them with their fundraising drives. And so I said my third point. I said, salvation is not being a good citizen. Salvation is not being a good board member. You know, I help Bible colleges to raise money so we can... I said, that doesn't mean salvation at all. And he looked at me puzzled. Like, you know, well, what is salvation if it's not just some academic information that you memorize? It's not just signing an agreement. I remember when I was in high school in the state of North Dakota, I had a friend named Dwight who went to the local Lutheran church. And in fact, most of my friends went to that church. And they had to sign a statement, yes, we agree with Lutheran doctrine. They were not saved. But they signed the statement. And I said, salvation is not just information. Salvation is not signing a statement. Salvation is not being a good person, being a good citizen, being on the board of a Bible college, raising money for the college. I said, that has nothing to do with salvation. I said, salvation is none of those things. I said, salvation is when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you come to Him and you say, I know that I cannot save myself, and I know that only Jesus can save me, and you have a personal relationship. Professor Choi looked at me right across the table and he said, oh, I haven't done that before. I've never done that. I said, sir, that's what salvation is. Amen. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Salvation is your receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not that you've been a good person or that you know this information. I said, salvation has to do with you and Jesus Christ. Just a few minutes. He bowed his head, and I said to him, I said, Mr. Choi, you're a very intelligent man. I said, I'm not even going to tell you what to pray. I'm not going to say, repeat after me. I said, I'm going to ask you to pray in your own words, and you receive Jesus. That Korean man, he bowed his head, and he said something like this. I remember his words pretty well. He said, Dear Heavenly Father, he said, I know that I have sinned, and I know that I cannot save myself. I know that I can't be saved by being a good person. And I know that Jesus came and He died and paid for my sins. And He said, Lord, I've known that all of these years. But today, He said, Pastor, with my own free will, I want to accept Jesus Christ to be my Savior. With my own free will, he said, I want Jesus to be my Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, two Koreans and a Pennsylvanian. This year in my office, a young man came in. In fact, he works for me. He's one of the student workers in the music department. And he works for me. Oh, heaven help us. You know, because of my sister. My sister's a pastor's wife in Pennsylvania. She calls me and she says, Mike, you know I never ask for a lot of favors of you. And I don't. And I thought, yeah, right. And she said, but I want you to hire this guy in your office. He is such a good kid. He's a good boy. And she just telling me all about how wonderful he was and da da da. He's smart. And I said, okay, I'll see if he'll work out. You know, and he's a music student. And so I hired him. And you know, sure enough, Josie was absolutely right. He's a good kid. He's smart. He's amazing. He shows up to work on time and works hard. And you know, when he's done, he's done. And when he does his work, everything's done correctly. And so all of a sudden, he sends to me and says, Dr. Zecker, I need an appointment with you. I got an appointment with me. He's always in my office coming in. Okay, well, I said, well, come by about 12:30 or so after chapel. And so I'm with another student. She had some stupid question like girls always do. And she's in there with the question. And I see this guy out there. He's just out there. He's just kind of nervously pacing outside my office. And it's not like this guy. He's cool. He's calm. He's collected. You know. But now he's just like, I thought, oh my soul, has he done drugs? You know what? You know what's he? You know, is there a problem here? I have to kick him out of school. What's going on? And so finally, this girl leaves the office, and he comes into my office and he says, Dr. Z, I got to ask you a question. I said, Tyler, what's your question? He said, I'm not sure I'm saved. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, I grew up in a Baptist church. I have good parents. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I go soul winning. He said, I've done that my whole life. I said, well, why do you think you're saved? And he said, because when I was about 4 years old, I'm told I made a profession. He said, my mom always said, my dad always said, my Sunday school teacher always said, oh yeah, Tyler, you did that when you were four. He said, I don't really know if I did. I said, well, let me ask you this question. You're about 18 years old now. I said, how long have you been worried about this? He said, since I was 13. Pastor, since I was 13. I said, tell me about it. He said, yeah, I was worried about it when I was 13 years old. And I went and I talked to my mom and said, I'm not sure I did that when I was four. And she said, well, and he said, and I just let it go. He said, from the time I've been 13 years old, it's been weighing on my heart. I don't know what I did when I was four. I don't remember. But everybody tells me I have. I looked at him and I said, young man, you want to risk heaven and hell on something you don't even remember? I said, you think you might go to heaven, or maybe you go to hell because mom said maybe you did something when you were four and you don't remember? And he's so cool, calm, and collected. He's a good piano player. He's a good basketball player. He's just always, you know, sharp. And he's always got this cool, calm, and collected. And all of a sudden, he wasn't so cool, calm, and collected anymore. And he was getting a little nervous. I'm sitting there right beside him. And I said, Tyler, I don't need to tell you how to get saved. You know how to be saved. Real briefly, we reviewed what we all know. I said, we're sinner. I said, there's nobody here in this room who can say, I've never sinned. He said, well, I'm not a bad sinner. I know, but nobody in this room could say, Jesus, I'm just as good as you are. No, everyone in this room falls short of the glory of God. And compared to Jesus Christ, you're a bad sinner. And it's not that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a bad citizen. It just means that everyone in this world needs a Savior. There's nobody in this world who says, hey, I'm just such a good person. I'll get to heaven because I'm just that good. No, nobody gets to heaven without needing a Savior. And God put a penalty on some people. Well, I don't know why God did that. And why would God send anyone to hell? Because God's fair. You can't let people sin and get away with it. And God put a fair penalty on sin. But then he sent Jesus Christ to pay that penalty. Jesus Christ, the perfect darling Lamb of God, who came and walked 33 sinless years. He never did anything wrong. And they killed him anyway. They put him on that tree and crucified him. And the devil thought he'd had his victory, but Jesus rose up out of that grave and provides salvation free for anyone who'll take it. Amen. Tyler's in my office. That good boy. I don't know if he's gotten any demerits when he's been in college. I don't know if he's ever been in trouble. He's just a good kid. I said to him, just like I said, Mr. Choi, I said, Tyler, you know what to say. You pray on your own. And here this young man with his nice suit on, nervous, he bowed his head. And he prayed the strangest prayer. He said, Lord, you know. And all of a sudden, he started crying. He said, Lord, you know what a wicked sinner I am. And I thought, wicked sinner? He's a good kid. Oh, but in his heart he knew, I have sinned against God. He said, Lord, you know what a sinner I am. And he said, no, Lord, you know I've been worried about this since I've been 13 years old. And Lord, I don't want to trust something that they said that maybe I did when I was 4. Lord, I want you to be my Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, I thought about this a lot this year, and I don't think that maybe there are a lot of people in this room this morning who are not saved. But I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's not saved. I know there are a lot of people, Pastor, who go to Baptist churches every Sunday for a lifetime and die and go to hell. And they know, just like Mr. Choi, they know all the information. They know all the songs. They know where all the books in the Bible are. They agree, oh yes sir, we'll follow the rules and guidelines of this organization. But that's not salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ inside of you because you have received Him by your own free will as your personal Savior. Salvation isn't chandeliers in the church and faithful attendance and Sunday school awards. Salvation is when you come to Christ just like that young man and say, Lord, I am a wicked sinner and I need you to be my Savior. And I ask you to be my Savior. That's what salvation is. Amen. Salvation is just like that doctor in Northern Michigan who prayed and said, Lord, I don't know how to receive you, but I want to receive you. Salvation is just like Mr. Choi, who said, of my own free will, I choose Jesus. Salvation is just like that young man in my office who said, Lord, save me. I am a sinner who needs a Savior. And the Bible says, the text this morning, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I only have two questions and then I'll be done. Question number one, are you saved? Are you sure that you're saved? Number two, are you sure that the people around you, in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood, have you told them how to be saved? You see, the Bible says right after it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, how then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? How's somebody supposed to get saved if no one ever tells them about Jesus? Did you get saved without anyone ever telling you about Jesus? Oh no, I'm so glad that preacher told me. I'm so glad my mother told me. Question, what about the people you care about? Are they saved? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Are you telling other people how they can be saved? Let's pray. Pastor, I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to come and take this invitation.